Labas Indy, everyone. Labas Diena. Labas Vakaras. I was already introduced. My name is Viltė Kazlauskaitė and I am a felt maker from Lithuania. And our topic today is archaic felt and its tradition in Lithuania. And please excuse me if I will be using my notes due to the language barrier. Well, felt is probably the oldest textile in the world, and it has a very raw and primal quality. And felt is simply entangled wool fibers that are matted together, that is a non-woven textile. It is the structure of wool fiber that makes felt possible. Wool fibers have very scaly surface that reacts to moist and temperature changes. Water and friction make fibers interact. The scales of the fibers open up, and due to friction, fibers start to migrate, and they get interlocked, and they are binded together, and this process cannot be undone. This is called felting. Felt is rooted among the nomadic peoples of the Middle East and Central Asia, but it has traveled all over the globe. Archaeological evidence suggests that it has been used in Central Asia and Middle East for at least 8,000 years. Felt has developed in multiple cultures, each adapting it to their own needs, and often its origins are lost. We don't know whether felt spread with the expansion of Central Asia trade routes, or it was developed by different cultures independently. Felt has been found in archaeological sites from Mongolia to Scandinavia. Some of the earliest evidence of felt making in Europe are dated to the Bronze Age, around 1500 years before Christ era. And these were the findings in Denmark, felt caps. There are also archaeological finds dating to 4th, 5th century Christ era in Norway, 7th, 8th century northern Germany. Most of the early European felts date from around 11th, 12th century into the Middle Ages. Several felts were discovered in Lübeck, northern coast of Germany, Baltic, near the Baltic Sea. And felts have been found from the 13th century onwards in sites in Netherlands, Poland, and Russia. Polish findings date even earlier, to the 11th century, and these include felt toys for children, also boots, gloves, and hats. Although Lithuania was one of those countries that did not leave any written record of felt making, and very little archaeological evidence has survived, as well as it was hardly ever a studied field by local scientists, there are many strong assumptions that felt making was an important and known textile here and had its specific purposes and meanings. Although felt was never as common as knitted or woven textile in Europe, as well as including Lithuania, archaeological finds show that there was a consistent use of felt, especially for felt making boots, hats, and coats. Surrounded by the neighbor countries that had quite strong felt making traditions from early ages, Scandinavia, Russia, Poland, Germany, Baltic states just could not be ignorant of felt making. It is assumed that Baltic tribes wore felt capes similar to the ones that Vikings had. They also shared the tradition of making felt boots, like in Russia and Scandinavia, and hats dating at least over the 14th century. Quaestera. Felt boots are a good example of felt as of the fabric of as a fabric of necessity. There was simply nothing better than felt for some purposes. No other textile provided quite such warmth and water resistance. Felt boots helped people during the long winters. The boots were made by local men or women, usually for, and the technique was usually passed from generation to generation, and it was a way to gain extra income for the family. It is not known if the tradition of making felt boots was learned from our Slavic neighbors, or this technique was discovered by several different groups independently of one another. The Lithuanian call felt boots with a general term of felt, veltiniai, and they also use the Russian word veilokai. So it could be assumed that Lithuanians learned this technique from the Slavs, but it also could be only a verbal assimilation. Simple enough technology of making felt could have been discovered independently, or it could be learned from the neighbors. It is, of course, possible that Europeans learned the technique of felt making from their neighbors, Slavs in the east, who learned it from the Scythians and Turkic peoples with whom they traded. And as mentioned before, felt has consistently been used for making hats and women's headdresses, at least from the 14th century. It's possible that felt hats became popular when the king Stefan Bator brought felt hats from Hungary, hence the name of men's felt hat, mazurka. The importance of felt might also be proved by having it as a part of the Lithuanian national costume. Men from all regions of Lithuania wore hand-felted hats that were usually decorated with ribbons and feathers, usually peacock feathers. And a very special use of felt could also be seen in the bride's outfit in Klaipeda's region. It is bride's bonnet that is called kikas. It's a tall cylindrical headdress from black felt embellished with gold galloons. And such bonnets were still worn in Lithuania until the beginning of 19th century. Lithuanians were also very good at making wool mill fabrics from woven or knitted wool cloth. Though it's not real felt, it involves the same principles as felt making. The wool fibers the full fibers get shrunk and they are formed into a thin, dense fabric. Lithuanians were known to trade their wool mill fabrics with their neighbors during the times of the Great Duchy of Lithuania. Full wool fabrics were widely used for making coats. And you can also see that in Lithuanian national costumes. They were sewing jackets, capes, and coats. Traditional felt is not possible without wool that has to come from the sheep. And there are three breeds of sheep that are national to Lithuania. One of them is quite new. It's Lithuanian native blackface sheep. They were derived from other breed. Lithuanian native coarse wool sheep only in the middle of the 20th century, while the coarse wool sheep were grazing Lithuanian fields for centuries. Both of these breeds are endangered today, and their breeding is sponsored by the funds of European Union. The third breed is very archaic. It is called Skuda. Skuda roamed Baltic states, Swiss Alps, and Scandinavia, also Eastern Prussia, up to the beginning of the 20th century. There is proof of Skuda existence in this area since the Iron Age. They are thought to be direct descendants of the Stone Age sheep. And Skuda are culturally, historically important and genetically valuable. By 1945, Skuda were nearly extinct due to the Second World War, and only a few sheep were saved from Lithuania by Germans. Skuda sheep were introduced back to Lithuania only in 2005, and there are only a few hundreds of them now in Lithuania, and only 3,000 of pure Skuda sheep all over the world. So that makes Skuda breed more than a rare breed of sheep, and this is raw fleece of Skuda. It has been only rinsed in water, and I can pass it around if you want to look at it. For making felt, fleece had to be processed in a certain way. After shearing the sheep, the fleece was washed by soaking it in the water, drying it, then picking it by the good wool by hand and pulling and ramping it by hands. The wool was then carded and put into soft, even baths. I will show you. This is the carded wool. This is also the Lithuanian wool. Pass it around. And I will show you a presentation of carding the wool. It's already after the drum carders were invented and used in manufacture. Okay. So after carding, you get such a bed, and for felting, it was moistened with very hot water and gently rubbed to initiate interlocking of the wool fibers. And as the fibers mat together and shrink, the felt begins to become firmer and stronger, so the friction and pressure could be increased. Felt making culture may not have the same traditions of felt making as the other, and traditionally Lithuanians used only very hot water for making felt and a dense cloth sheet for moistening, rolling, and kneading the wool inside. There has also been a noted tradition in some areas of Lithuania to use whey for making cheese to aid and speed the felting process. And later on, some traditional felt makers started to use soap to speed the felting process and to reduce the water, the tension of the water, to allow the water to soak into the fibers, and as well to help the fibers migrate through each other. by working on a wooden form, felt could be made three-dimensional as it shrinked and dried. And Lithuanian technique was to secure wool on a wooden form by stitching, by making tacking stitches with a woolen thread before felting began. And now I'm going to show you a traditional felt making of felt boots by one lady who is still doing it in Alytus district.
Pradėsliūnutė nukirpta dydė, va kokia vilna, turi minkštutį, labai švelnutį, taip kaip mes makėra.
This is the result, the felted book, and you can see that it shrunk in half. It was that big and became like this, and I am going to translate a few things that she was saying while felting. She is using about 300 grams for one boot, for women's boot, and about half a kilogram of wool for men's boot. And the process of felting, it usually takes the whole day to make two boots. So it's a very hard labor.
How much wool are you getting for one sheep?
On one sheep, it depends on the breed of sheep, and also how often it is cut. So around sheep, it could be around 1 kilogram from one sheep. So the history of felt is also based on the cultural traditions of places where it continues to be produced, and unfortunately the generation that was upholding the living traditions of ancient Lithuanian felt making is dying out, but on the other hand, felt making is living its renaissance in Lithuania these days, the same as in the rest of the world. And modern felt has become a part of fine art and crafts. And although felt boots like this and hats are no longer a part of everyday wear of most people in Lithuania, we can see that felt is still around and even in greater quantities, just different places. And it has become a part of our art and craft, and I'm gonna just illustrate it with examples of some contemporary felt makers in Lithuania, and I want to pass around. It's an example of an ancient felt, just like this piece. Only felt it, like the boots that the lady was making. It could be, this one is considered quite thin for the boots, so the boots would be like twice or even more thicker. You can just feel it. And I can also pass around the book. You can look through contemporary works of felt makers. Yes, and a few more pieces of contemporary felt that includes many other fibers and fabrics, just the way it is made now. If you have questions, please ask.
Do Okay, you're ready to take questions now?
Yes.
For the audience?
Yes.
Are there questions for the other?
Alisos. Just a village near Alisos. Shule.
What was the question?
Where
that woman was.
Oh, where the film was.
Yes, yes.
Is that a working farm or is it a museum?
Where she was, it's her house.
Her house.
Yes.
Working place.
Yes, she isn't working much now because her hands already hurt and she cannot stand.
The woman who is interviewing her, is that a TV show that she does? Or?
No, it was made...
Is it a graphic film?
Yes, because it was sponsored by the Ministry of Culture. They want to revive the old traditions of self-making. So it was a part of the program.
What are you teaching at the symposium?
I'm teaching felting with woven, like this rug, and then the subject is manipulating the fabrics for making different textures in felt making, and also creative felt surfaces with bubbles.
I saw that. How did you get this sheen on here, the biscuit?
It's silk.
Oh, okay.
Silk fiber.
Okay. That's just, yeah.
Traditionally, in the day in there, was this man's job or man the felting as well?
It didn't matter. In some families, men did, in some women. But it wasn't something that just for women or just for men.
Are articles of clothing still worn and are they very expensive to get? The clothing articles,
yes.
Are those still worn by people in Lithuania and are they very expensive for people to buy?
The traditionally made felt boots, in some places, in villages, the people still wear that and it's not expensive. But nowadays, the contemporary felt is popular and people do buy that and wear that on the streets as well, but only the contemporary way. And I wanted also to say that the felt boots that the woman was making in the video, they were usually dyed in black after they were felt.
With what?
Synthetic dyes, and before the synthetic dyes, there's no record of what they used for that.
Is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Can you tell us some more about what got you first interested in felting?
I was fascinated by the ability of wool to interlock and to form a continuous fabric. When I first saw felt, I just couldn't believe that it could happen from fibers that are actually to get separate. So how could it make a continuous fabric? That fascinated me. I remember I just came home and I had to try wool. Like I saw felt, but I couldn't believe that it can be done from separate fibers. So that's how I got into felting.
In the booklet, it seems that some of the felt is painted upon and some is like embroidery and some is woven. Am I right?
In the book you can see very different techniques. These are contemporary techniques. that involve like playing with dyed wool and then putting it in different ways, also using a needle for felting, a special needle for felting, and also by using different yarns and different fibers that are put on the wool, and the wool catches the fibers and it just binds it to itself. So these are very different techniques.
So none of it is paint?
It could also be painted, but I mean, it's the choice of the artist.
So what do you prefer to make? Clothing, like pieces more like this for the sake of showing and felting that you're different?
I prefer to make wall panels.
Okay.
Like that, and also fashion accessories and clothing.
Do you do needle felting as well?
Not really. I don't needle felt, only I use needle sometimes if I want to pick to share something that's already felted.
There is a market for this kind of felting. I mean, I can make a living doing this.
Contemporary, yes. If not in Lithuania, then abroad. You know.
In the video, did it say how she learned this craft, the tradition?
She said that she learned it from her father. So as I mentioned before, it was passed from generation to generation, and it was usually that in one village, like there was one man or one woman who was making felt boots for the whole village and for neighbor villages also, and then teaching her daughter or son who would do that, and it would go and go and go like that.
Other questions? I think everyone's so taken with the samples right now.
Then please join me in thanking Viltan. Maybe we can stick around for a few minutes.